The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
Hey guys, we're in the final stretch of our summer shoot around series, and we've gotten some nice feedback from folks on this. So thank you for sticking around and listening to these episodes. Preseason is just around the corner, and we've got even more in store coming soon. Real quick, a heads up on something. I know there are plenty of you who listen to the show, who just listen to the show. You just listen old school on the phone. The 2017 way, the 2012 way, the way we did podcasts for so long, and now there's obviously video and all that stuff. But to those who only listen the traditional podcast way, I thank you. I hear you. Totally cool. You are my people. Now, we are going to be doing another big mailbag episode very soon. So this is to everyone, but those in particular who might not use social media or watch the YouTube, if you'd like to send in a question, a thought, anything interesting, mostly on college basketball, but if you've got a funny thing that's related to the show that's not College Hoops, I'm inviting that as well, for sure. Here is our new email address, shouts2cbs@gmail.com. Again, shouts2cbs@gmail.com. Include your name and the city or town where you are from. We'll take a few of those in our next mailbag episode. But beyond that, email whenever you'd like. At any time of the day or night, if something springs to you, feel free to email us. We'll store them up and use them for future use as well. Additionally, if you'd prefer, you can send in a 10 to 15 second video. Try and keep it short. Nothing too much longer. Just 10 to 15 seconds in that range. You can ask us a question. Tell us your name and your city or town, and we'll drop a few video questions as well moving forward for our mailbag episodes. Again, shouts2cbs@gmail.com, or you can always find us on Twitter at Matt Norlander, at Gary Parrish CBS, at IonCBB Podcast. Find us often. Send your thoughts. And as always, thank you for subscribing.
Hey there, it's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like button like you're Brandon Davis. You have consent. You know what he would do in a similar situation. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the YouTube channel, please go ahead and knock that out while you're here. And while you're doing that, let me remind you what we've got going on. It's called the summer shoot around. Never mind, it's not really summer anymore. Just forget that. It was summer when we started. No.
Hold on.
Is it still summer?
Come on now. As we tape this, it's still summer.
When are we done with summer?
I feel like today. I think today's the last day of summer. Yeah, I think so. Let me check that as we go. You go ahead and read off the 74 teams.
Not going to do it anymore. I decided I'm done with that.
Everyone knows what the deal is here with this.
I feel like everybody, you guys should know by now, but it is a summer shoot around.
It's the last day. Yeah.
Today is the last day of summer.
It is September 21.
That's good to hear.
Now, people are going to listen to this. It's going to be the fall. We are technically pre-taping this a day before, 2 days before, but it is the last day of summer when we record this. So there we go.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to summer being over. It's miserable down here in the South.
We got a beautiful last day of summer up here in Connecticut. Can't wait to get outside with the boys later. You know, hit the wiffle ball around, get some shots up. Beautiful 72 degrees outside right now.
We're coming in at 100 down here. We're 100.
Seems unnecessary.
It's outrageous. Well, with the summer shoot around, it's a focusing on 20 notable teams over a span of 10 weeks, two per week, 20 teams in 10 weeks. We're doing the schools in alphabetical order. We've already knocked out 18 of them. Now we turn our attention to UCLA Bruins. They went 27-8 last season, finished second in the Pac-12, got a four seed in the NCAA tournament, lost to North Carolina in the Sweet 16. From that team, UCLA lost Johnny Juzang, Jules Bednarik, Cody Riley, Miles Johnson, Peyton Watson. That's five of the top eight scorers. But they're bringing back Jaime Jaquez, Tiger Campbell, Jalen Clark, and enrolling a top 15 recruiting class headlined by a couple of five-star freshmen, Amari Bailey and Adeem Bona. I have UCLA ranked 10th in the top 25 and one. We'll see what Norlander thinks of Mick Cronin's Bruins next. But first, real quick, as summer gets into our past, a word from our partners.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Dead Leg. I've got UCLA 10th in the top 25 and one that's 10th in the nation, first in the Pac-12. Are you a believer in what will be Mick Cronin's fourth team at UCLA?
Yeah, there have been some other episodes in our summer shoot-around series. You want to tell them all the teams we've done?
Kansas and Kentucky.
Okay. There have been some teams where I've been like, GP, you're a little too high on this. You're too low here, I think. I'm going in on UCLA. I think I'm gonna have this team top 5, 6, 7 in the country. I'm going all in based on the strength of, well, one, I think Jaime Jaquez will have a real shot at being a first team All American, and then the incoming freshman class and a Pac-12 that, you know, it'll be all right, you know. But losing Juzang and Bernard, that's obviously big. Cody Riley being gone is certainly something. Peyton Watson was barely, you know, I don't want to say he was barely used, but he was not a big minutes getter. He wound up going 30th in the draft. He's with the Nuggets now. But Tiger Campbell coming back is probably the single biggest reason why I'm going to pick UCLA to win the Pac-12 and to be in contention for a one seed, but probably land on the two line overall. I think his experience, I this is just a projection, a prediction. I think Tiger Campbell's veteran play, really smart player, we'll look up in January, Parrish, and I think he's just going to be a top 3-point guard in the country in terms of production. You know, he's not going to be the most athletic point guard, not going to be putting up the biggest scoring numbers, but I think he's going to have a good shot at averaging 13-7-4. Like, I think he'll be a very big factor on a team that's got plenty of talent. And yes, Cronin obviously has had plenty of success. He's had an NCAA tournament level team all three of his years here, which is no shock. He's the greatest coach in UCLA history with a sterling 68-30 record with 40-17 in the Pac-12 to this point. You buy what I'm putting down there with Tiger Campbell, you know, it just in the likelihood he could be among the three or four best point guards in the country. And with that, I'm basically saying he'll be right there with Jaquez with being an All-American. I think that could be the case with UCLA. We get to the end, we're voting on this stuff, GP. And those two guys are two of the 15 to 20 best players in the country.
7 assists per game is a pretty big number in college basketball, but I wouldn't rule anything out. I love Tiger Campbell, and I love like a program returning a guy at that position who is so rock solid.
Just been
and
there.
So he's just been there. I mean, he's been first team all Pac-12 each of the past two seasons. And though he didn't shoot well from three early in his career at UCLA, he shot 41% from three last season on 3.7 attempts. So I don't know if I'll go all the way up to 13-7, but I could certainly see something like 13 or 14 points per game, 5 or 6 assists per game, you know, right around, if not above 40% from three, and first team all Pac-12 for the third straight season, and maybe, you know, some All-America honors as well. You know, as I was looking at this roster and the way it projects from a starting lineup perspective, I think obviously Tiger Campbell's in there. Jaime Jaquez is in there. Jalen Clark probably in there. So you've got three, you know, returning guys who have played meaningful minutes, if not been stars on, you know, accomplished basketball teams. I mean, for Tiger Campbell, Jaime Jaquez, these guys have, you know, they've been really important players on two Sweet 16 teams, on a Final Four team. And then you supplement them with two five-star freshmen in the starting lineup. It's a lot like the Kentucky starting projected starting lineup. Three veterans and two five-star freshmen. And with Jaquez, like I haven't quite figured out my first team All-America ballot yet, but he'll get consideration for it. And I won't be surprised if you know, he, you know, whether he starts there or not, ends up as a Pac-12 player of the year and first team All-American. I thought Mick Cronin, in an article I read recently, I believe it might have been Seth Davis, the great Seth Davis, sitting down with Mick for a story that was in The Athletic, but he called Jaime Jaquez a glue guy star, which is not a term I'd ever heard before, I don't think, but it seems to fit. Like, it's the guy who does all the little things, right? He guards, he rebounds, he'll dive for loose balls, but he's also like a legitimate, you know, can be a star, best player on a very good team. And so when you got, at the very least, two proven guys like Tiger Campbell and Jaime Jaquez, and then you're throwing two five-stars there with them, I mean, that's a team that absolutely, like, if you told me UCLA was in the Final Four for the second time in a three-year span, there's nothing crazy about that at all.
Nope. Jaquez averaged 13.9 points last season, 5.7 boards. I do think those numbers will go up. I think UCLA will be a team that will be able to defend at a high level, but will also be able to score, because I think there's going to be a lot of points. I think there's going to be a lot of points to go around with this. Like, Amari Bailey, how is he not going to be able to create, get points on the board? UCLA ranked 12th in offensive efficiency last season, 16th in defensive efficiency. The year before, UCLA was 11th in offense when it went to the Final Four. Obviously, the Final Four run boosted those numbers. I think UCLA is going to be a top 10 offense in the country. And I think between Campbell, Jaquez, and Bailey, and maybe even Jalen Clark, I'll say they have four double-digit scorers. Jalen Clark, junior guard, he played 18 minutes a game last season, 6.7 points. He's got to probably be the step-up guy here, right? You figure if he's in the starting lineup, alongside Bonna and Bailey, he's got to probably step up, but I think they're going to be trouble. I like this roster and how it's been put together a little bit more than Arizona. Personally, we obviously did an Arizona episode. Those two teams set up objectively as the top two teams yet again, and thankfully the Pac-12 schedule has them playing official to that league. I like UCLA a bit more. I don't know how deep the team will be, and so anytime we talk about a team that's got a really good offensive upside, you know, will they play more than 7 reliably? And if they don't do that, are you susceptible to injuries? You know, there's something to be said for that as well, but there's a lot to like. Losing Ju Zhang is, you know, that's significant, but there are plenty of other teams we have projected in the top 10 who are also losing a player of similar value to what Johnny Juzang brought to UCLA. He still was a pretty good player last season. I would argue that from a media fan and coach's standpoint, Juzang, he actually might have fallen a little bit short of what was expected when he decided to come back after, you know, catching fire and becoming a national star in the sport when UCLA went to the Final Four there. But I do like Jaquez to kind of step up and grow. And I get what Cronin's saying, being a star glue guy. I think he'll just become a straight up star there, and UCLA not having a singular guy to, like, it's not like Jaquez is going to command the ball on every single possession, need to get his touches and need to get up 20 shots a game. Absolutely not. I think UCLA will be dangerous because on any given night, I'll say this. I think that Hawkes, Campbell, and Bailey will each among them will have at least 6 or 7 games apiece where they are the leading scorer for UCLA. And having that kind of dynamism while still always relying on Campbell to be the guy, just having a veteran point guard that knows the staff, knows the system, knows how to run it, I think that's going to pay off big time once we get to Pac-12 play, and why I think UCLA will be a clear-cut top 10 team this season.
It's interesting. You and I do not discuss these at all before we start taping. And yet, as I'm sitting here looking at my notes, one of the things I wrote, like, is there enough depth? Because David Singleton is really the only established returning projected reserve. You know, Kenneth Nuba is probably your backup big, but he only played 6.4 minutes per game last season. So there's not, like, if we're going to put Campbell, Clark, Hawkes in the starting lineup, there's not much returning proven stuff on the bench. They are adding, you know, a top 50 point guard, Dylan Andrews, out of the class of 2022. So I could see him playing 7 or 8, but you are going to be, and this is probably true in most places across the country, you're going to be asking some guys, though they have some undeniably proven and reliable high-level guys in Campbell and Hawkes, you're going to be asking some guys, you know, to play larger roles than they've ever been asked to do. Doesn't mean they can't do it. Just means they're going to have to be a little different than what they've been. Another obvious thing with this roster is, though Tiger Campbell is clearly the point guard, Amari Bailey does play with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, he's like a true combo. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and so how does that work out? I mean, I'll just trust that two talented guys like that are going to figure it out. You know, one guy's a I don't know that Tiger Campbell, you know, he's 5'11". I don't know what his NBA future is or even if it exists, but he's a great college basketball player. And Amari Bailey, you know, he's a legitimate NBA prospect, 6'5", great athlete, good body, plus defender, needs to improve as a shooter, which is something you say about most 6'5 athletes. But, you know, this guy is an incredible shot creator off the dribble, and somebody who I'm assuming is going to, you know, score big points right from the jump for UCLA.
I would expect that as well. Before we get to the
and then, of course.
Oh, gosh. No, 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 no. Let's just, you know, we're cruising here. We're cruising.
Do you know what time it is in Westwood right now? Do you know what time it is in Westwood right now?
Go ahead.
It's bad bitch o'clock. It's thick 30.
Thick 30.
It's thick 30. Woo! Amari Bailey's
mine. This is the most treacherous season you've ever had employed at CBS.
It's thick 30. It's thick 30.
Watch yourself a clock in Memphis right now. That's all I know. Watch yourself a clock.
Thick 30. It's going to be a scene.
Let's do... we'll obviously get to the passing of Jalen Hill before we get out of here, but let's do over-unders on the regular season. Jesus. We'll do the over-unders on the regular season right now. Here's the schedule to know. Non-conference, UCLA. They've got Illinois and Vegas on November 18th. Then 2 days later, they'll either play Baylor or Virginia. That's the Continental Tire Classic. So a wonderful 1-2 there. That's four teams. Parrish, do you have Virginia ranked? I would rank them top.
I had them ranked at one point. They got pushed out when other teams added people, but they're right there. Okay, and if I were starting from scratch with the top 25 and one, I would probably have them in there, if only because I had two ACC coaches tell me Virginia is going to finish top 2 in our league.
There you go. Well, you know what? They're your rankings, and you can do it whenever you want. It's been a while. It's been more than a month since we had a top 25 update.
Yeah, but my rule is I don't change just to change.
Okay.
But maybe you know
it doesn't
what?
I feel like that's actually, you know,
maybe that's not changing just for changing. Maybe the explanation is we did a candid coaches survey.
Correct.
And I talked to a bunch of coaches, and they're like really high on Virginia in a way that suggests I should probably be a little higher on Virginia.
Point is,
my age, I don't need to be so set in my ways with these rules that I invent for myself, you know?
That's correct. That's precisely it. So four top 25 level teams in at that event. They'll start with Illinois, and then they'll play Baylor, Virginia. They'll play at Maryland, which is nice, on December 14th. That's a wonderful non-conference game between. I literally just realized this because that's between future conference members. Maryland and UCLA will eventually be sharing a conference. Oh, yeah. That's outrageous. And then their other non-conference game of note will come in New York City at the CBS Sports Classic against Kentucky on December 17th. So they only have four non-conference games of note, which is lower. We've had teams that have had five. Five is the number we've usually been landing on. Some teams have six. So that being said, on this episode, I'll go first. I look at the Pac-12. I look at that schedule. Give me UCLA. I'll say they go 2-2 in that stretch of the four big ones. They'll win till they'll lose two. You know, I'll go there, and then they'll still get picked off. They'll get picked off occasionally in the Pac-12. Maybe the attrition becomes an issue. So I'm going to land, even though I think they're going to be maybe even slightly better than this record, I will put the UCLA Bruins heading into Pac-12 play. Their regular season over under for me is 24-7.
Heading into the Pac-12 tournament.
Yes. What did I say? Pac-12 play.
That's right.
That would be by far the toughest non-conference schedule in the country if they were 24-7 heading into the Pac-12.
It's a lot of stuff to get in before conference play. It's a lot of stuff. You have to play some back-to-backs to get that done. 24-7. That's what you've got. Okay. I've got four league losses. Yeah. And let's say two non-league losses. So okay. I'll be a little better than you. I'll go 25-6.
We are contradicting each other right now because I will have UCLA ranked higher than you heading into the season, but you will have UCLA ending up with a better record. Don't know how we're going to square that circle, but we'll figure out a way, I guess.
It's bad bitch o'clock. It's thick 30.
We will end this podcast with a strong left turn. As we record this on Wednesday morning, there was, unfortunately, very tragic news that came out on Tuesday, and that is the passing of Jalen Hill, who played with UCLA from 2018 to 2021. He had been missing for a couple of months. I'll let kind of Parrish take up the rest of the story here, but his family announced on Tuesday word had come in and that he had died. We do not have a reason for his passing, Parrish.
Yeah, dead at the age of 22. According to his family, went missing in Costa Rica. And like you said, the family hasn't released any details. But for whatever it's worth, it is widely known that Jalen struggled with depression and anxiety. These are his words, not mine. Actually, you know, played 14 games in that final four season, a couple seasons ago, and then stepped away from the team to focus on his mental health and ultimately, quote unquote, retired from basketball at a very young age. And so, we'll wait for an official cause of death. But obviously, anytime you lose somebody so young and who by all accounts was just an absolute, absolutely incredibly impressive young man. Like I didn't know Jalen Hill, but the people I know who know him really had a high opinion of him, liked him and loved him. And so, yes, as this news of this started to trickle out, I guess on Tuesday night, and then was confirmed by UCLA early Wednesday. Yeah, it's just heartbreaking. You know, every once in a while, you will get one of these stories where somebody we talked about and wrote about and watched, you just wake up one day and it's like, you know, dead at the age of, 20, in this case two, but 27, 29, young, too young. And it's always obviously a sad thing. And this one is seems to be especially sad.
Yeah, Mick Cronin tweeted late on Tuesday night, the news Jalen Hill's passing is heartbreaking. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family at this time. Jalen was a warm-hearted young man with a great smile who has left us far too soon. Certainly, we'll echo that sentiment and want to genuinely send our best and only our best to all who knew and loved Jalen. I imagine something like this for players on that roster who knew him and communicated with them. They are not going through an easy time right now. That coaching staff, this is something that, weighs heavily on anyone. And as they, as they're back in school, going to classes, reconvening as a team, official practices, we're hearing closing in on late September. Official practices will start before the month is out. Something like this can certainly hang very heavily over over a team, not let alone the people who knew and loved Jalen best. So it just so happened as us, you know, the timing of us recording this UCLA episode literally came the day after the announcement of his passing. Very, very tragic. And we, again, we send our best to him and the UCLA community. And I imagine, I would imagine, I don't know this to be fact, but he wore number 24. I would think that 24 will be stitched onto the uniforms for the entirety of the season. And the program will honor him that way for the 22-23 campaign.
Shouts to Devin Downey, Chester, South Carolina, Hook and Larnell. And thank you guys once again for listening. Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'll talk to you again real soon. Until then, take care.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.